it's a great tool to aid your writing, but not to solely rely on the information that it presents to you.
Welcome to UnMiss, your go-to digital marketing hub. I'm Anatoly Ulatovsky, here with expert tips and exclusive chats to boost your online game. Let's get started.
Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome. Welcome anyone who wants to learn more about content marketing, about brand publishing, how you can get results, how you can win customers. And today it's important to create high quality content. But it's tough if you need to do it at scale. You need to repurpose this content, you need to consider different formats. And for me, I usually spend more time to collect data. If I collect data, then I create a piece of content and can repurpose to different formats, video, audio, social media posts, blog posts, anything. But I'm so excited to learn more with Chelsea Alves. How are you?
Hi, doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. I know about your skills, knowledge. You created a lot of content for my SEO course. I often meet your content on Search Engine Journal. You are super active to provide this valuable insights to help support audience, SEO community, content marketers. Chelsea, we recorded one podcast that was awesome. I decided to invite you one more time, especially I did it yesterday to replace a speaker, but things happen. Chelsea, before we start, just tell more about yourself, experience, background, and anything that can help our listeners to learn more about you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. Excited to be here for a second time. So as my title suggests, I'm a digital content marketing manager for Standard Process, which is a whole food and supplement company. I also do freelance content marketing on the side for companies like Anatoly's. I also Search Engine Journal is a client of mine as well. I've been doing marketing for, it's been a long time, probably like 15 years now, not to age myself. And I have a degree in content marketing specifically from San Diego State University. And yeah, I've been working on content for a variety of businesses across, you know, multiple different verticals, retail, healthcare, SaaS, other tech companies. And now I'm doing a more B2C focus in my full-time role.
Awesome. Awesome. Love it. Love it. And Chelsea, I want to ask about your degree. You have a degree in content marketing, and I cooperate with many great content marketing experts. And most of them have now this marketing degree. You know, they usually practice a lot more. And someone can start with development, design, writing. It depends. But the main goal to create high quality content. Can you tell how this degree can help you, you know, to craft this content, what kind of value you got with this degree, and can you lead our audience, especially students who are looking for ways how to start from scratch? Do they need to get this degree, or it's better to do something else?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like I've always been inherently a creative person. Even when I was younger, I was always into storytelling. I'd write my own stories at a young age. So I wasn't really sure going into college where I wanted to focus my attention. I originally was an English major, actually. It just felt right with my writing background. But then I quickly learned that an English degree kind of pigeonholes you into only so many career paths. So I switched to more of a business mindset at the advice of family and friends and others who have graduated from college. And I just, you know, through taking introductory business courses, learned that marketing was, you know, a very creative aspect of business. And it just kind of aligned with my professional and personal goals. It was very helpful for me personally to obtain a degree in content marketing specifically. I think it kind of sets the foundation for students, gives you a lot of background into all different aspects of marketing. And it doesn't just focus on content specifically. You'll learn about journalism, advertising, even areas where you don't really focus on in your professional life, like accounting and finance. But I think it's good to have kind of that comprehensive background and be well-rounded in every facet of business. So it's definitely worthwhile. But as you stated, Anatoly, I do know that some people, you know, find it better to kind of just jump in firsthand and not have a degree and kind of build their content knowledge from the ground up without education. But I do think, you know, having kind of a formal education helps bolster your skills and kind of sets you up for success at the start of your career.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Love it, love it. Chelsea, you said two times the word creativity or creative. I love this word. And I think we have to get results today without to become creative. And you mentioned about storytelling. I want to share a short story, interesting story, about Lloyd Richards. He published a book 11 years ago. He couldn't sell this book for a long time. For many years, but that was interesting about the story that he spent more than a decade to write a single book. So a lot of work, but nobody cares about this job. Then his daughter posted content on TikTok about this book. It's a short video, less than a minute, and this video became viral. Plus 50 million people watched this video, including one view from me. I want to know how to get this 50 million views from an account with zero followers. And today, the book is bestseller on Amazon. So one video can beat a lot of marketing and sales channels because of creativity. It's not nice looking design, it's special. It's simple design, but that was creative. And this video can provoke this curiosity. What kind of book is this if author can spend like more than a decade to write a single book? Chelsea, can you tell about creativity? How to become creative today? Because marketing is overwhelmed. If we speak about blog content, plus 7 million blog posts can publish on WordPress alone, but we have many other channels, Medium, LinkedIn posts, name them, a lot of channels, and it's tough to stand out from the rest. Can you tell your methods how to become creative in your content marketing?
Yeah, I think when you know people think about content marketing, they typically think of written content, so like blog posts and emails, and a lot of customers receive those every day and read blog posts, but it's kind of becoming oversaturated, I would say, across every single industry. Mostly every website has a blog. You know, mostly every company sends some sort of, you know, weekly, bi-weekly or monthly newsletter. But I think, you know, like you were saying with TikTok, a lot of customers are intrigued by and interested in seeing more visual type of content. I've also noticed a lot of customers are really into listening to content as well. So in the form of like podcasts, it's actually funny because at Standard Process, what I've been seeing from analyzing our own content results is that our videos and our podcasts are receiving the most attention out of all the content we produce. And we only produce one blog post a month, and we typically only publish maybe like one video every 4 months or 3 months, so like once a quarter. And those obtain so many more views and so much more engagement than our blog content. And I think it just is really showcasing a shift in consumer preferences. I think people are kind of worn out on the long form ebooks where it's just, you know, 10 pages of straight content, and they're more interested in seeing something that's going to attract their attention, like a creative video, or even just simply listening to someone's voice, like all of the audiences listening to us right now. I think, you know, the way people consume content is changing, and companies can't just rely on blog posts anymore or like simple emails to attract their audience's attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, audience attention. It's very important to think about audience first, because I remember many years ago, I created content to satisfy algorithms, search engines, social media. Today, I don't. You need to create content for people and then to think how to optimize for platforms to get more traffic and results. But if you can't satisfy people, you can't satisfy algorithms.
Yep.
For sure, because all algorithms can serve people today. And Chelsea, I want to ask about creating a lot of content at scale. I know it's tough, even to create one piece of content, to collect data, to analyze the audience, to think how you can provide something differently to analyze competitors who have similar content. And but we can repurpose this content to different formats. Can you tell your methods how you do it?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a very long process. I think people think writing a piece of content just is, you know, starting, just putting pen to paper and just writing, but it's so far beyond that. I mean, it for me personally, it involves keyword research, so seeing which terms are currently ranking, and then looking at, you know, how hard it will be to rank for those keyword terms and how many domains are already trying to link to that keyword term and seeing how competitive it is. Thinking of like using long tail or short tail keyword terms, like what's going to resonate best. And then, you know, once you decide the keyword term, you have to think of, you know, a unique angle for that, because likely other competitors have already written about the topic and you don't want to simply regurgitate existing content. You want to make it unique and differentiated for your audience, so that you're adding value and you're not simply, like you said, just trying to write content to attract search engines. It's most important to attract the attention of your readers and make sure that your content is relevant and engaging for them. So it's a long process. And then, you know, there's a lot of content tool optimization tools out there that can help you kind of discover what additional keywords you should be using in your content, how often you should be using those keywords, how many internal and external links you should be including, how many headings and subheadings you should be including, even up to like how long your content piece should be. So shout out to a tool I use. It's called phrase.io. It's super helpful. It kind of gives you all that background information dependent on the keyword you select. And that's really helped me write not only relevant and engaging content, but also, you know, looking at the search engine optimization piece. I know we kind of said, you know, you want to write more for readers than for search engines, but it's also kind of important to think about that as well. Obviously, that shouldn't be your primary focus, but you do kind of want to think about search engines and how they're going to crawl the website and the piece of content and what they're going to be looking for. So it is a sort of important element to incorporate as well, as long as you're doing it in a natural way that isn't, you know, too overbearing or keyword stuffing. Like, so yeah, I think, you know, it's a very long process. It for me personally, it takes, you know, maybe upwards of 6 hours to write a comprehensive, well thought out blog post, or yeah, just a blog post. You know, if you're talking about like a white paper or an ebook that's longer form content, that can take, you know, upwards of 12 hours or more. So it definitely takes time, but it's definitely a worthwhile endeavor, I think, in the long run. So it's worth investing in.
Yeah, 100%. Chelsea, you mentioned about phrase.io. It's a good tool. We have similar tools, Surfer SEO, many other great tools. Yeah. And we are going to launch our tool soon with similar features, but we will be different as well. But I want to ask about finding the balance. You mentioned about keyword stuffing. You mentioned about to have the right keywords, and it looks like old school. Do you think it's a good idea still to use all these recommendations, because Google can share with us? It doesn't mean that we need to listen to Google everything that Google can say, but anyway, what do you think? It's a good idea to still use a lot of keywords, and how to find the balance between optimization and over optimization?
Yeah, I think, you know, there has to be a balance. You obviously, you know, Google has said, especially with its helpful content system update that came out, I think like it's been 2 years now, that they're looking for helpful content. They're not looking for, you know, over-optimized content that's written for search engines and not for the end user. So I think there's a delicate balance. Like, you definitely don't want to include your focus keyword in every single paragraph. But I think, you know, incorporating it where and when it makes sense is still okay. I mean, usually you'll want to, you know, let the audience know right at the beginning what your content topic is going to be about. So in the first paragraph or the second paragraph, I think it is important to incorporate your focus keyword, because that's what's going to set the tone for the rest of the article and what's to come. And then I think, you know, wrapping it up in a conclusion and including the keyword there, that, you know, usually makes sense too. I think it's just important to focus on a natural integration of the focus keyword. And like you said, not keyword stuffing, not just trying to satisfy what you think Google is looking for. There definitely needs to be a balance. You can't really use your focus keyword haphazardly, you know, in random places throughout your content where it doesn't make sense just because you think Google will, you know, reward that. They're actually probably going to penalize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Google is unpredictable, and especially today with this new update. it's still coming, but we'll see. You know, I hit 3 times in my life with Google updates, and the last one hit me as well. One of our websites. We'll see. Google recommends don't touch anything, so we are waiting how things will be. But anyway, Chelsea, I wanna ask about creating non-boring content. If we speak about high quality content, valuable content, it's important, of course, but people bounce fast. Most users bounce TikTok videos, YouTube videos, audio podcasts. It doesn't matter. Just bounce because it's boring. Nobody knows exactly it will be valuable or not, but they wanna get non-boring content. And I spoke with Jim Edwards. He worked in Business Insider for 10 years and told me that success of Business Insider depends on creating non-boring content. He left the company when the company was sold for $500 million. Great success, but he mentioned it's important to create non-boring content. Can you tell for you what it means to create non-boring content?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like what I alluded to earlier. It's going beyond the traditional blog post and short email format. It's, you know, creating, you know, visually stimulating content such as, you know, infographics. I think long gone are the days of the long form infographics that take up a whole page and you have to scroll down for 5 minutes to see all the infographic. I think shorter bite-sized infographics, like ones you can repurpose for social media, are performing really well from what I've seen across a few different verticals. And I also think video content, I don't think, you know, if a 15-minute video probably isn't going to capture the attention of your visitors unless, you know, you're really engaging and you have someone who's super great on video to capture someone's attention for 15 minutes. But I think with the advent of TikTok, that short form videos are really capturing people's attention and kind of panning from video to maybe a product or a service and then panning back, having multiple different concepts in the video is important as well. I don't think anyone wants to just, you know, sit there and listen to someone talk. It's not super engaging. So I think you really have to try and capture your viewers' attention and think through the ways of what they want to see and really understand your audience. You have to understanding your audience really helps set the tone for the type of content you produce. Knowing like the target demographic and what kinds of content they like to consume. For example, like a company that targets Gen Z, they'll probably want to be on TikTok and want to create those short form videos because Gen Z loves to be on their phones and they have a short attention span and they like to get information in a short time frame. They don't want to spend, you know, 15 minutes watching a video tutorial. They'd rather see that in 2 minutes. So I think it's just a combination of going beyond traditional blog post content and incorporating more visually appealing content and doing so with a thorough understanding of the target demographic that you're trying to reach and what their needs and preferences are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it. And I want to ask about another aspect because I often read marketing guides. I have my personal experience and I found marketers often say you need to know the audience. It's okay. Yeah, it's normal. I don't know how to create content without knowing your audience. But I think it's important to know the product as well, because if you market the product, you need to understand how it works. And I remember when I got the payment for my consulting service about online games. And what I did, I played these games for 3 days. Even my son caught me and told, you told me that I need to read books, but you are playing online games. What's going on? I replied to him, you know, someone paid me $16,000 to tell what to do with these games. And he replied, what? It's stupid people, because it's better to pay me than to you, because you don't play these games.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to understand how it works. For example, when I promote trading websites, I trade. I can lose even money, but I can understand both sides. People who can lose money, who can earn money, but I need to understand how it works. I need to learn the product. Can you tell your methods, how to learn products before creating content?
Yeah, I think you definitely, you know, need to do an ample amount of research, especially if it's a topic that you don't know about. You need to really immerse yourself in the subject and get really familiar with the product or service that you're trying to write about before you move forward with writing anything, because it's really going to show through in your writing if you're not an expert in the topic. And then it's going to not position that piece of content as a voice of authority, and it's not going to build trust and credibility with your audience. So I think it's, you know, if you're brand new to the industry, I think it's, you know, getting to know the industry as a whole at a much deeper level. So reading industry publications, listening to podcasts that are associated with that industry, even, you know, going on TikTok or YouTube and consuming information in video format about that industry. And then doing a lot of research. Obviously, when you first start writing about a topic that's new to you, it's going to unfortunately take you longer to write about that topic because you have to do all of this background work. But the more you dive in and the more you continue to write about that topic, it's going to become easier for you. You're going to, you know, eventually become a subject matter expert, and your content's going to position yourself as such. But yeah, it's just, honestly, it's unfortunate, it's tedious, but yeah, it's a lot of research, and not just going in and assuming that you're the expert or relying on AI to provide the answers for you, because we all know AI is amazing. It's definitely paving the way for the future, and it's so helpful in so many aspects, but it's not always 100% correct, and it requires a lot of fact checking. It's, you know, as with any technology, it's not always going to be 100% working correctly all the time. So it's a great tool to aid your writing, but not to solely rely on the information that it presents to you.
Yeah, I think it's important to feed AI with the right data. So if you rely 100% to ChatGPT or any other tool, it's tough to get great results. But if you collect data yourself and feed AI, yeah, you can mix results to get good results.
Chelsea,
I want to ask more about testing and experiments. I created a lot of content. I know many marketing experts can do it as well, and most content can't bring good results. And it's tough to get great results, probably almost impossible, from the first piece, for example, to film first video, to write a first article. I remember my first articles like nonsense today.
For me.
But it helps to craft your skills to go ahead. Can you tell about testing and experiment? If something is not going right, and I know customers can tell, look, at, I need to get traffic for all these copies, but even if you have traffic for 5-10% of copies, will be great. It's a good result. So can you tell your methods how to improve results during the way?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, being really analytical with your content and kind of analyzing what's working and what's not. A lot of the times that requires some sort of external tool. So like Google Search Console is a great tool for determining how to improve things such as you know, user experience, page signals. UNMISS has a lot of amazing tools as well that you can leverage to see, you know, what's missing in your content pieces, like how to optimize some of your title or your titles and subheadings. You know, maybe you didn't include a meta description. Maybe you haven't been using any links throughout your content. I think kind of looking at these tools and using them is really beneficial and to your advantage. And it's only going to help you improve your content. And I think it's, you know, also analyzing your content on a consistent basis. So for me personally, I look at my analytics or my content analytics, you know, on almost a weekly basis to see what's performing, if something is completely tanking and seeing if there's an error. Sometimes it might not even be, you know, your actual content itself. It might be something like you have a long page load speed or your content's not optimized for mobile and Google's dinging you that way. So it's not just only about the writing. It's also making sure that those external factors, such as like page experience signals, and mobile friendliness factors, there's a lot of things that go into content ranking well. And it's looking at all those factors at a high level and going through every single content piece, honestly, to see what's ranking and what has the potential to rank and what's not doing well at all. Another tactic that you can use is repurposing, which you kind of talked about a little bit earlier too. I think, you know, giving your older content a quick revision, you know, even if it's adding like 300 extra words or making sure the content's still relevant to today's day and age. A lot of content gets outdated very quickly. And if users land on that and see that outdated content, it's not going to provide a good user experience, and they're likely going to bounce from your page and not return to your site because they're not going to see you as a voice of authority in that topic, and they're not going to want to come back and check out and consume more of your content. So I think it's also a mixture of repurposing content as well. You already spent the time and the energy putting together that content, and usually just with some quick fixes, maybe an hour or two of work, you can make that existing content exponentially better and more relevant to today's consumer rather than, you know, what you had written previously that may be outdated.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. Chelsea, let's talk about AI more.
Okay.
You mentioned about AI, and for me, it's like a must-have today. But if you use it in the right way, because most content creators just use to create content from scratch, you know, rely to this tool, and Google can fight with that. It's tough to convince other platforms, even social media, with AI content. And when I read comments, I often can see on social media which comments were written with AI, which comments are authentic. And for me, it's better to have a lot of grammar mistakes than to rely 100% to AI without grammar mistakes. Chels, can you tell your methods, how you use AI and how AI can help you to create better content? And about speed too.
Yeah, I think, you know, I use AI for a lot of things. I use it for the outline stage mostly. So having it help me, you know, kind of parse through existing titles and subheadings and meta descriptions, and then breaking that down into actionable steps and instructions for how to write the content best for the end customer and the end user. But I don't rely on it solely for writing. I've learned that, like you said, if you use it solely for writing, a lot of people can tell because it will use kind of like obscure language that you normally wouldn't use in regular conversation, or words that are just, you know, really complex and difficult to understand for the average reader. So I think you can use it like kind of like as an outline and kind of as like a guide for how you should write your content in the direction you may want to go, but I don't think you should use it solely for writing the entire piece of content. It's also really good for, you know, coming up with different keywords that you should use and incorporate into the content as well, and kind of like what's relevant to the focus keyword. So like, say, for example, you're looking up like dog treats, and you type in, you know, what sub keywords should I use for the term dog treats? And we'll come up with a comprehensive list of other relevant keywords that searchers would typically be looking for around that focus keyword term. So it's really good for like multiple different reasons. But like I said, I wouldn't use it solely for focus, for using it to write. It's just, it's not there yet. I know it's the easy way out, and a lot of content creators are thinking, oh, I'll just, you know, I don't need a content writer. I can just use AI. But the fact is, you know, it's not in the stage of use and advancement yet that we can solely rely on AI to write our pieces. And, you know, every piece of content, humans want to read content that's written by a human, not written by a computer. They want to have, you know, the human touch, the human emotion conveyed in their writing. And that's what really attracts and resonates with readers. So if they're simply writing something that they can tell a computer wrote, they're not going to be engaged with that content. And it's going to provide a negative user experience, in my opinion.
Yeah. Chelsea, I can't avoid one question. I want to ask this question.
Yeah.
I see in your bio, digital content manager, standard process. Can you explain what kind of standard process you have? Because I have so non-standard process. You know, many things are going differently. For me, even it's tough to schedule my content plan, because I need to handle other things. I want to create content, but something can bring a lot more results for me. And can you tell about your standard process and about discipline, how you can stick with this process?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, my standard process, it's not really always standard. It's kind of multifaceted and evolving. I feel like content marketing is a field that's constantly changing. Google's algorithms are constantly changing. So I'm not sure you can rely on one process for years on end and expect to see the same results. I mean, even like 2 years ago, for example, AI was a brand new concept that no one really knew what it was or how to use it for content marketing. And now it's kind of an integral part of every single content marketing tool set. I think I read a statistic somewhere that like 50% of companies now are using AI heavily in their businesses. So I don't know if there's a standard process for content planning, strategy, and optimization. I think it's more of a skill set that you need to constantly be on the ball, constantly educating yourself, reading articles like those found on, you know, UNMISS. There's tons of great blog content there and videos and up-to-date information about what's working and what's not. And I think it's also a lot of testing. You need to constantly test your content, always analyze it, see what's working, see what's not. You also need to keep up with SEO updates, I think, as a content marketer. I know that kind of extends beyond some content marketer skill sets, but it's good to stay in the know with what Google is prioritizing and ranking highly in terms of content, and what it's kind of trying to steer away from and ranking poorly, and following and keeping up with those best practices. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but I don't think there's, you know, like a one process that's going to work forever with content marketers. I think you're always going to have to iterate and evolve, and yeah, things may be different, you know, even a year from now. So if you want a career where it's just totally stable and there's no change, I'm not sure that content marketing would be for you.
Yeah, of course. And today, the era of digital marketers, I mean, like the era of lazy marketers is dead. You know,
you
can't win today if you don't adapt whatever happens. I think people are the same. I mean, like when I read books that were written before digital, Josh Sugarman, Seth Godin, you know, I can rely all these insights to digital marketing. I can use all these insights. Even Dale Carnegie, he wrote these great books, and today it's very important to consider all these insights. But we need to consider only technologies. We need to adapt to these technologies to provide great results for customers, users, but humans are the same. And Chelsea, I want to ask more about AI. For me, it's important to have skills how to write. It's important to know the topic if you want to get great results with AI. Because I see when people create content without having deep knowledge about specific topic, or think AI can decide all their problems, but it's tough to set up the right prompts. It's tough to edit. And for example, I can create great content, I don't know, about weight loss, accounting, taxing, because I need to know the topic. And the second, I need to write, I mean, like to make hands dirty. Can you tell how your skills can help to get much better results with AI?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot from what I've learned with my own testing is you need to feed AI the right prompt. Like you need to, a lot of times the prompts need to be longer form content. Like it can't just be like, tell me how to do this. It needs, you need to have like a very thorough prompt that addresses everything that you want it to accomplish for you. You can't expect AI to deliver a magnificent result by, you know, typing what is the best headline for this or what is the best title for this topic. Like it's not going to deliver the best results, or it's going to deliver a very like basic result that's probably, you know, that title's probably been found on like 10 other blog posts written by your competitors. You need to be very specific with exactly what you want and the audience you're trying to target to get the best end result. So what I typically do, honestly, there's a lot of research that's already been done around this. So you don't necessarily need to perform the research yourself. You can honestly Google like what is a great prompt to write a LinkedIn post that captures attention, engages my audience, and encourages them to click through to learn more. And there's so many, you know, articles that have been published around this topic where people have already done the research and tried different prompts to get the best results. And that research is readily available for people to view. So I think it's, you know, doing a combination of research and ensuring you're including all the relevant information in your prompt to deliver the best results that are going to resonate with your audience. Be original and differentiate yourself from existing content that's already out there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Chelsea, let's talk about mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. I keep doing them. I don't know how to avoid mistakes. And in content marketing, in marketing, I lost a lot of money with stupid mistakes. But I think I can get less results if I do nothing, you know. So it's part of the process to test, to experiment, to find what actually will work. Sometimes you can think that you can create a masterpiece, but it's far away from that. You know, we are biased in our opinions, especially when you spend time to collect data, to craft this content. And it's important to learn from mistakes. Can you list mistakes that you see companies still do in content marketing, and your tips how to find another way?
Yeah, I think, you know, a common mistake I'm seeing, especially as of lately, is content that's being written entirely by AI. And it's just so blatantly obvious when you read the content. Like I said, it sounds robotic. It doesn't sound like it has any human touch or any human voice or any emotion in the article. I think it's also just a lot of mistakes I see companies make are creating content, like we said, for search engines rather than the end user. So it's, you know, seeing like the keyword unnaturally incorporated many times throughout the article. The content's kind of disjointed and it doesn't flow naturally. Or honestly, it might be, you know, written by a writer. That's kind of another big mistake I see is content written by a writer who you can tell clearly does not have writing experience. So maybe they're going to Upwork and looking for the cheapest option and, you know, seeking writers who are affordable rather than experienced writers. I think that showcases a lot through on websites as well. And that provides a poor user experience. People want to see content that's written by people who have experience writing content, not someone who's charging the least amount. It's an investment, as I kind of said before. Content marketing, you know, you have to invest in it if you want it to be done right. And I think that's kind of true for any line of business, not even just necessarily marketing. The most affordable doesn't necessarily mean the best. So it's, you know, finding people who have experience and the expertise in that field, even if it costs a little bit more, it's so imperative and important, because at the end of the day, you want to write engaging, relevant, and, you know, really well-crafted content that's created by an expert content writer who has the experience to and the knowledge to capture the attention in the audience that you're looking for.
Yeah, I know about that. And I usually search for experience than price.
Right.
It's a big mistake to search for the price. You can find much better price, 100%. You can find, like, even I remember when I started my digital journey, we paid like $5-$10 for one article. I don't know how people wrote these articles, but today, especially when we have EEAT, many other things, it's tough. It's almost impossible.
And it's so important. You know, Google's looking for EEAT, and, you know, that's not going to shine through with someone who costs $10 an article. Usually, I mean, maybe there's a rare instance that happens, but I would say more often than not, probably 99% of the time, you're not going to find a writer for that price that's going to meet those expectations.
Yeah. Chelsea, I want to ask about your experience more. I mean, like, I have audience founders, co-founders of companies who are looking for ways to learn the basic foundation of content marketing, of brand publishing. And I have students who want to join this niche, to become experts in one day, to learn hard today. So let's help both founders who have a dream to build a big company, to help customers, and they need content marketing, and students who want to help in the future some companies to get results. If you started today from scratch, without any experience, knowledge, skills, it's your first day in content marketing, forget about Search Engine Journal, for my course, for anything. So you didn't write anywhere to you. You did it in school, but it's your first day. You need to craft your skills. You need to start from scratch. What will you do if you do everything from scratch?
Yeah, I think if I was a student, from a student perspective, I would look for a mentor. So someone with, you know, in-depth knowledge of the content marketing field. So looking for someone like a manager level or director or above, honestly, that could kind of mentor you and be that support system for you to kind of guide you as you get into that field. I've had students or, you know, people who are even in high school reach out to me on LinkedIn just to ask to have like a quick coffee chat to pick my brain and kind of learn more about the industry and learn more about my experience and mistakes I've made in content marketing and kind of help guide them towards setting them up for success from the start. Another thing I would recommend is maybe taking a course. I think courses are so helpful. Some of them are very affordable. I know UNMISS has their own course. I've also taken the HubSpot content marketing certification course as well. And I believe that is free. I could be wrong. It's been a couple years, but most of these courses are available to you for a very nominal fee, and they're so helpful. You learn so much. You learn from people who are experts in the industry. They're usually very well-rounded, so they cover all different aspects of content marketing, from strategy to planning to distribution and more. So it's, you know, I think educating yourself through a mentor or, you know, being proactive and taking courses that can help guide you in the direction of becoming more of an expert in the field, or at least having some sort of background in the topic, is so essential. You can't kind of go in blind. Even if you don't have the expertise and even if you don't have this experience, if you can work on getting the expertise, I think that's going to set the stage for a much more lucrative and better career path for you than if you go in blind and kind of just expect to learn everything on the job. Your manager's most likely going to be busy and not able to teach you every single aspect of content marketing that you need to know. So you kind of have to be a self-starter if you want to get into this field and kind of take the reins and empower yourself to, you know, get started through the help of others or through the help of courses.
Yeah. And anyway, if you, I think it's important to learn courses, YouTube videos, block content. But you need to practice. You need to make your hands dirty, you know.
Practice is important too.
I see when people overlearning. I'm against that. I have no time to overlearn. I want to learn, but I know only practice will show what actually will work, and you can get much better results. Especially we have short memory. People forget about new stuff for a few days. I can forget for a few hours. Just let me know. I will forget if I do nothing. So it's important to learn, to make notes, to think how you can implement or share on social media, to teach others, educate, and it can help to memorize all this information.
Yeah, I think even using, you know, AI is a good example. Like, write about X topic and then, you know, include these headings, and then it will spit out obviously the content, and kind of just reading through that and seeing how can I make this better, or how can I repurpose this in my own voice to sound more authentic and human-like. I think, you know, AI can be used for that as well, kind of like a guiding point for people who are just getting started with writing.
Yeah, totally, totally. Chelsea, let's forget about our main topic, about AI, about content marketing. Can you tell about your regular day? How you start your day, how you finish your day, how you find the balance between family, job, sport, other activities? Because I see you have energy, you can share a lot of valuable insights, and it can help our listeners to prioritize things in their daily lives.
Yeah, honestly, I think work-life balance is so important, and making time for your own personal passions and hobbies. You're going to burn yourself out if you're solely focusing on your job. So for me, honestly, I always want to and need to get a workout in most days of the week, just to feel more fulfilled and feel like I'm working on my body and health and mind. For me, I take a short break sometimes, usually in the middle of the day. I'll walk my dog, get outside, get some sunshine, just so I can kind of like revitalize and re-energize myself. I personally can't sit at a desk for 8 hours straight and get work done in that method. Otherwise, I'll feel burned out. So I think it's really important to, you know, work is important, obviously. It's, you know, what supports your living. But I think it shouldn't be your whole entire life. Like, you need to make time for the things you're passionate about outside of work, whether it's like hiking or reading or spending time with your family or your friends. I think for me, it's so important to dedicate and allocate a certain number of hours towards work a day. But then after that, you know, focus on the other things that bring you joy aside from work and what really brings you to life. And I think, you know, it's just trying to be healthy is important as well. I mean, now that I work for a nutrition and whole food supplement company, I'm really realizing the value of you know, keeping a healthy mind and healthy, having a healthy lifestyle. I think that helps support your work, and it supports your mood and your energy levels and just how you function throughout the day. So I think, you know, we see it and hear it everywhere that health is so important, but to me it really is. And I notice such a big difference when I prioritize my mental, physical, and emotional health.
Awesome. Awesome. I couldn't agree more. I think it's not about money and business if you have no health.
Yeah.
It's simple to lose health, but it's tough to get back. And sometimes you can't recover 100%. And you can't be productive without having great health. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's important to pay attention to mental, to health issues, to anything. And yeah, to be happy. If you are happy, then results will come.
Yeah, exactly. It shows through in your work. It really does.
Yeah, and Chelsea, I have my final question, very important question about the future. Today we have AI, and Sam Altman said that GPT-5 is coming, and he mentioned that GPT-4 sucks, you know, compared to GPT-5. We'll see, I don't know, but Apple launched augmented reality, this headset. I don't know how it will change the world, but many things are coming. And in digital marketing, it's important to adapt whatever happens. I know marketers on TV and radio didn't lose their jobs. They adapted to digital. And we can adapt to any environment. Augmented reality, GPT-5, GPT-6, I don't know. Whatever happens, we need to adapt. And if you do it faster than competitors, everything will be fine. Can you tell your prediction about the future in SEO, digital marketing, and how we can adapt to this possible future?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that AI is going to become even more intelligent and more players are entering the game as we, I think last week Apple made the announcement, or it was made, discovered through internet sleuthing that they bought a startup AI company. So really every big tech brand now is fully on board with AI. So I honestly think it's going to get even more intelligent. It's going to become even better. I also in the future see AI expanding into video as well. It already kind of has, but I think we're going to be able to create really, high quality and great videos from AI, maybe even podcasts, to be honest, in the future. I think, all forms of media and are going to be, really amplified through AI. That's like the biggest thing I'm seeing right now is just AI everywhere. And I only predict that to get even more advanced and even more sufficient in the future. In terms of SEO, it's really hard to predict what's going to happen in the future because with Google, you just never know, and they're constantly changing their best practices. But I think at the end of the day, their main goal is to provide a great experience for people using their search engine. And I think if you stick with the tried and true principles, it's going to help you in the short term and in the long run. So creating content that's engaging, relevant, as I keep saying, and just really beneficial for readers to consume, and authentic and transparent. I think, even in the future, that's going to be the case and going to be a main ranking factor. So I'm not really seeing, I don't really think SEO will change a whole lot. I mean, there will be little things here and there because, like I said, Google's always changing things, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to, really hinge and rely on just creating that authentic user experience. I also think in the future, AI is going to play a big role in search engine results, and we're kind of already seeing that. So I think it's going to become even more prominent in the search results, and that might change the way that SEO marketers focus on creating content. There's just so much that's coming in the future, and I think a lot of it is centered around AI.
Nice, nice. I'm excited. I'm excited about
Me
the
too.
future. Yeah, interested. I know people who worry about the future. They
Yeah.
are in trouble because they are not ready to compete. But you need to adapt. If you adapt
Yeah.
faster, everything will be fine. Whatever happens, you can adapt. Just do it better than your competitor faster. And I can imagine if AI will come to audio podcasts, it's like two AI robots, Anatoly and Chelsea, can speak to each other, and the audience will be AI robots as
I don't
well.
know. I don't know. Maybe, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, me too. Chelsea, it's a big pleasure. Thank you so much for
Yeah.
taking your time, for sharing all these valuable bombs. Tell the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
Yeah, I think the best way to reach out to me is via LinkedIn. So Chelsea Alves, Alves, or you can see my name on the screen, I guess. So just find me on LinkedIn, and I'm happy to answer any questions. As I mentioned earlier, I do freelance content work as well. So definitely reach out if you have any needs, or even if you have questions, or if you're a student and need help getting started. My inbox is open, and I love to help people however I can.
Nice, nice. So kind, guys. I submit the link to LinkedIn account in the description below. Listen us on Apple, Google, Spotify. Reach out to Chelsea if you need more help. Follow on LinkedIn because I follow. I know it's important for me to update what we have because you can see many things are coming fast. We need to adapt. We need to learn and think how to make it differently. And marketers are great to destroy channels. We can find some new channels and destroy them fast because many marketers are coming to these channels. So,
Yeah.
yeah, very important. Okay, guys, thanks a lot for listening and watching us.
Thanks for tuning in to Unmiss. Enjoyed the show? Drop us a review on your favorite platform and help us spread the digital marketing wisdom. See you next episode.